com.
Good morning. If you're in St. John's County, 95 South and mile marker 314, there's been an accident right side of the highway, some backup reported. And then if you're at 95 North near Edgewood, there's a broken down car looking at traffic cams right now. We do see a wrecker and road rangers on the scene. Mostly cloudy today. Our high will be around 85 degrees. This evening, lots of rain with thunderstorms and a low of 62. Right now, it's 66 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump's 2020 budget calls for trillions in cuts over 10 years. Over the past 2 years, more than 15 million people in the U.S. have quit using Facebook over concerns of privacy. And a proposed constitutional amendment would raise the Florida minimum wage has cleared its first hurdle.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
TPC this week, the weather's going to be great and it's back to, well, are we at spring weather now yet, Roger?
It feels like summer.
By the way, why am I here at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Because somebody's got to do it.
That's right. No, 6 o'clock. Wait a second.
That's right. It took me a while to get that one.
I know. Most of my comments usually do. But anyway, hey, good morning. 603 Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. By the way, I think this is probably one of the most underrated ever reported of daylight savings time, but I love the extra hour.
We lost an hour, Ed.
I always make up the sleep.
Okay.
In here. No. I mean, I get an extra hour during the day.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Who sleeps, man? All right. Hey, again, don't forget 222-TALK 904-222-8255. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Let's get on with some of the biggest national news out there. Has been reported this week that the president and the White House are unveiling their budget for 2020 to Congress, which, again, I'm always very wary of these budgets over 10 years plus to get rid of deficits, always a 10-year budget. But there will be cuts, but are there cuts in government growth or legitimate cuts over 2.7 that would want to balance the budget and more in 15 years? Matty Dupeler with the National Taxpayer Union says a lot of this government spending with the $22 trillion national debt we have out there will have an impact down the road if we want to spend more money on causes that the left may think are social nets for safety and also those on the Republican aisle that want to look at expanding defense.
We are careening towards a cliff, and we don't know how to stop ourselves. Now, in some ways, it's alarming but not shocking that politicians have not started to use the national debt as an issue that they actually want to try and tackle. But frankly, if you look into the future, $22 trillion now, but a trillion every year after that, really starts to make a dent. And the reason that politicians should care about this is for both political reasons and realistic ones as well. One is that it destabilizes the future for all Americans. So if you're potentially a Republican or a conservative who talks a lot about economic opportunity, those opportunities narrow as the debt continues to squeeze out other kinds of investment. But if you're a Democrat and you think the federal government should be spending on a lot of different programs, those priorities will also be undermined by the fact that the debt will take up a greater part of the federal budget.
Now, whether you agree with more deficit spending or not, Roger, but I mean, the argument has to be placed on Republicans and Democrats. Republicans want more spending in the national defense. Democrats want to spend more money on social safety nets. The bottom line is both of these groups, for the most part, don't seem to show a concern that this is a major effect and could have a major effect on the economy.
Spending, spending, and more spending. And like you, I am concerned when they say over the next 10 years. To be frank with you, there's no way to enforce that. There'll be a new president in office at that point. Who knows what that person's agenda will be? And they have the authority to completely flip what President Trump wants to do down the line if he's not in office anymore.
The president says what's going on with the Dems in the U.S. House is, quote, presidential harassment of what they're doing from him. As Byron York from the Washington Examiner points out, that Democrats in Congress and in some key blue states, they want to investigate because they believe that it will weaken the president and hopefully ensure that he's not going to be reelected in 2020. But how do you do that? Do you wait on the Mueller report? Not according to MSNBC's AM. That's the name of her show. Joy Reid, she's asking Democrats, well, why are we waiting on the Mueller probe going on here?
Other than you, to be blunt.
Yes.
Members of Congress, including Democrats, will not discuss impeachment, even though impeachment would be the public hearings that would allow the public to know what you are learning. And they're waiting on the Mueller probe. It's all being hung on Robert Mueller. Is that fair to the American people to only allow the Mueller probe to be decisive rather than initiating an impeachment hearing so that the public could find out what you guys know?
Well, first off, you have the CNN and MSNBC and other groups out there that maybe, you know, embellishing things out there about President Trump. Who knows what some of you may decide upon. But she says, what do we need is we need an impeachment process to show the public what's really going on out there. Democrat Congresswoman Maxine Waters says, yeah, presidential harassment, call it whatever you may. We need to impeach the president. Are you ready for this? Because he's undermined the Constitution.
I believe in the Constitution, and the Constitution gives us the authority and the responsibility to decide whether or not a president is acting in the best interest of his country. This president is not. As far as I'm concerned, he has enough violations. He's been involved in a lot of activity that we believe needs to be made apparent. And so I believe that we have everything that it needs to basically impeach him. The American people should be depending on the people that they elected to represent them to determine whether or not this president is undermining the Constitution, whether or not he's acting in our best
interest. I took away three things right there. Number one, we all know this for the last few weeks. They're not going to win on Mueller, okay? Evidently, this was the golden child about going after President Trump. Number two, I was going to get to undermining the Constitution. Wait, what about Congress people that have undermined the Constitution and abide by it if you really want to go down that route?
Do it all day long. But here's the deal. The greatest gift the Democrats in Congress can give to President Trump is to go forward with impeachment preparation.
Do you buy
people don't like it.
Right. When President Obama got reelected, even though the numbers for Obamacare were less than 50%, people said, no. This is one of the 30 reasons why. Like Hillary lost. Mm-hmm. That's 68 reasons why. The people were given a reasons why Obama won or Trump won. And sometimes it's just not one specific reason, depending on, for example, up north. Mm-hmm. President Obama and a lot of those voters went towards President Trump. They felt that they've been overlooked, as they say, the flyover country. Mm-hmm. Obama didn't really do anything for them. Trump's trying to do something, some would say, when it comes to the issue of manufacturing. We'll get to those numbers here in a few moments. Having said all of that, to sit back and say, well, Congress voted, or the people voted for the Democrats to go for the areas of impeachment, that's not what the numbers say.
Right. Yeah, they're making it up out of the clear blue sky. And another thing to remember also is that the people voted for President Trump to become president of the United States. They do not want their will, you know, undermined that way. History has shown time and time again, Ed, that if you go forward with impeachment with the president of the United States, it's probably going to cause his poll numbers to go through the roof. And in this particular case, there's no consensus in the U.S. Senate that he needs to be impeached. So it's just an exercise in futility to cause President Trump's numbers to go up.
Racism is so bad in the Republican Party. Democrats say it was even a success for Ronald Reagan. AOC was on a tour again saying that Reagan used caricatures to divide Americans by using the term, are you ready for this? Welfare queens.
Interests and the powerful have pitted white working class Americans against brown and black working class Americans in order to just screw over all working class Americans. Is Reaganism in the 80s when he started talking about welfare queens? Mm-hmm. So you think about this image, welfare queens. And what he was really trying to talk about was this, he was painting this photo, he's painting this like really resentful vision of essentially black women who were doing nothing, that were sucks on our country. Right. Because this one specific group of people that you were already kind of subconsciously primed to resent, you give them a different reason. That's not explicit racism, but still rooted in a racist caricature.
All right, so the term welfare queen was used with some of those in the Reagan campaign back in 1976. Mm-hmm. It was because there were news reports that those of what the originality, what was intended for welfare, was to help out as a basic last resort. Mm-hmm. And news reports from CBS and ABC back in the late 60s and 70s were saying, actually, people are abusing the system, So Reagan called them welfare queens. By the way, that might be an offense to LGBT crowds today.
That's a good point.
You know?
I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. 1976, 1970s, 1960s. Who was even alive back then that can remember that? You know, that's, or if we were alive, we were probably real, real little kids. Here's the deal. Today, this is 2019. The numbers show that per capita, the most, the demographic group with the most college degrees are black women. The group with the most entrepreneurialism,
right,
own their own businesses are black women per capita, bypassing everybody in the United States. I think people are realizing that, and that stereotype probably no longer holds.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point. Eric Slawell, who is, I guess he's a Democrat from, where is he, from California. He's looking to run for president. And mm-hmm. I understand, yes, there's a good argument about why those in urban areas aren't making as much money as those in rural areas. I'm open for that argument. The area of when it comes to maybe criminal justice, totally get that as well. All mm-hmm. open for the argument. But the sit back, and he says, listen to this clip here at the beginning. He almost infers as it's some sort of discrimination or racism. He says, black college students have more debt than other people.
Let's look at the black experience today. You're seeing that, you know, black students who graduate college still have more student loan debt than white students. It's a different criminal justice system for a young black man than a young white man. And black households still see their wages are lower. So these issues still persist.
I have no argument with the issues, but mm-hmm. just my question. Why do black college students have more student loan debt, if you buy into that? Mm-hmm. But let's say we do. Than white. Is that, you can't infer there's some sort of somehow racist nonsense going on.
Trying to follow the math on that. I understand that a lot of black people tend to choose what's called HBCUs, or historically black colleges, which primarily are private. Maybe the tuition's a little higher than if you were to go to
sure.
a state college or a community college.
That's based on choice, not based on...
Exactly. I'm just trying to figure out why.
That's a great point.
And the numbers don't lie.
By the way, the housing, and you mm-hmm. want to talk about criminal justice, all open for that.
Mm-hmm.
No argument. When it comes to somehow it's some sort of racist trick. Coming up in a few moments, 15 million users in the U.S. have quit using Facebook over what issue? And Democrats from big groups that normally would support their cause are saying, hey, they're too big. They're monopolized. We need to break them up. We'll have those discussions coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're in St. Johns County going south, mile marker 314, there has been a wreck. We do see a lot of backup there on the traffic cams. Duval County, Jacksonville, we see no accidents on any of the major highways this morning.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Is it because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe? Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
Mostly cloudy today and warmer. The high will be 85 degrees. This evening, there's a strong chance of thunderstorms, especially early in the evening. Overnight, the low 62. Right now, it's 66 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The DeSantis administration says they're looking at ways to cut the red tape when it comes to occupational licensing in the state of Florida. Democrats propose breaking up high-tech monopolies. And the latest jobs report was weaker than expected. Economists still say that 2019 is a good year for the consumer.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Don't forget, download the radio app. Listen on your smartphones, your Android phones. Thousands of you listen every day. Just go to wbob.com, wbob.com. More with some of the big national news out there. Roger, I am a creature of Facebook. I am a creature, and I'm still in my 20s. And I am a, I'm a creature. I don't tweet as much. I do read a lot on there. Sometimes some people say therapy is just to kind of vent. Some people say therapy is to get away from it right there. But there are millions of those that are escaping, no longer, should I say, in that area, using Facebook anymore. The Daily Mail reports that Facebook users among in the U.S. have dropped significantly between the ages of 12 and 34. More than 15 million users in the U.S. have quit the site in the last 2 years. And to my conservative listeners, guess what they have quit them over? Take a wild guess, Roger.
I know the answer.
It's not censorship.
I know it's not.
It's privacy.
Yeah.
And yet when I hear from conservatives on this radio show, they're ticked off because, and I think it's a criticism that maybe need to be weighed against some of my conservative listeners. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's because they delete some of the comments or to trendy news. But yet, the number one main concern Facebook found out when they surveyed over 1,500 of their social media users, that the reason why many young people were leaving was because over privacy concerns.
You know what? I'm a little concerned myself, to be frank with you. Back when there was some breach of security with Facebook a while back, there was a big effort to kind of let people know what was going on. How can they review their profile? I looked at mine. Facebook's got all kinds of information on me I never gave them. It's amazing. My political leanings.
They do that maybe what you read.
They will.
YouTube's the same way, by the way.
Yeah, they will post without your permission your marital status and who your spouse is, which is probably a good thing.
I thought you were supposed to put that on silent or private.
Exactly. But, you know, whether they're a monopoly, need to be broken up or not, I don't know. But I'm concerned about the privacy issue myself.
Now, here's the interesting notion here. 172 million people in the U.S. use Facebook. But some people would say, well, the ages of 12 and 34, those numbers have gone down. Guess where the numbers have increased for Facebook? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
People age 55 and up. Huh. The older group has increased by almost 50% in 2017, 2018, and 53% in 2019. So the elder generation loves Facebook.
You know, I've got a sister who she closed her Facebook account. Oh, she doesn't. She's not active on it. But she spends a lot of more time on Instagram, which is also owned by Facebook. And she says only old people like Facebook. It's a way that you can kind of keep in touch with the kids and the grandkids, I guess, older people.
When it comes to what Roger has said, is this a proper area to maybe we need to break up the, quote, monopolies out there, whether it's Amazon, Google, Twitter, or Facebook? Senator from Massachusetts Elizabeth Warren says we shouldn't have any more monopolies.
But the reality is, it is not capitalism to have one giant that comes in and dominates, a monopolist that dominates a market. What I have supported all the way through are the kinds of things that help level the playing field.
Really? But yet, guess who's the biggest monopoly when it comes to the beneficiary of gasoline prices? The government.
Yeah.
Guess who's the biggest monopoly when it comes to your taxpayer dollars being used for retirement? It's the government.
Yeah.
Social Security. Guess who wants to become the biggest monopoly of your health care?
The
your
government.
Education?
Exactly. You know what? I think one of the things people are concerned about is if they post something on Facebook, they think their friends are going to see it. That's not necessarily the case. Even Mark Zuckerberg, when he appeared before Congress, said that there is a liberal lean within the Facebook community, and sometimes those things get blocked. I would say if there's anything that can be done, maybe open up Facebook across the social media platforms, make them do that. For example, if you've got a Twitter account but not a Facebook account, people on Facebook can see what you've said, or vice versa.
If they don't choose, why should I let them see if they don't want to access it? It's like saying forcing everybody to listen to this radio show.
Well, you know what? I've got AT&T wireless on my phone. You don't. I can make a telephone call to you. It's not restricted to just AT&T wireless customers, and that basically would be a monopoly if it were.
Yeah, but sometimes think monopolies are done on purpose. Sometimes people don't mind a monopoly. By the way, Deidre Bolton from the Fox Business Network talked about the Facebook and what Elizabeth Warren. She doesn't want to just stop at the Facebook users. She wants to go further after Amazon. And in fact, according to the report here, the Democrats would also propose unmerging, if that's a new word, the mergers that have taken place.
Right.
Let's break those up.
Go through the three steps. She wants to apply new regulators to basically undo the mergers that we've seen or separate properties. So in other words, she wants to take Instagram and WhatsApp from Facebook. She wants to take Whole Foods away from Amazon. She wants to undo the Google Nest merger, which she wants to bar tech companies. And I feel like this is particularly focused on Amazon from providing a marketplace and then also selling products on that same marketplace.
Wait, so just, I mean, it's amazing. Every one of those groups are very left wing, but let's break them up. I don't know why, but I know because they're all billionaires.
Yeah, that's what it is, Ed. It comes down to one thing. They're jealous of how much money they've got.
Probably so. But then again, so the question that we have to ask, wait, you want to do all these mergers out there with Whole Foods? And I mean, Amazon's hiring like $15 an hour.
Exactly. You know, they're paying people very, very well paying jobs, making people millionaires. It's ridiculous. And when it comes to Amazon, I cannot call them a monopoly because anyone who's got a business, they want to run something out of their own home maybe and sell products, they can go to Amazon and Amazon will resell it for them. They're opening the doors to everyone.
Here's an interesting question. If you think that Walmart, I'm Publix. I'm a Publix shopper.
Okay.
If you think Walmart and Publix are monopolies, some people would think so. But Amazon comes in and says, we'll fly the food to you and we love it. But they're a monopoly.
Here's why Publix is a monopoly, because they're the only one where shopping is a pleasure.
Right.
That's the reason.
Actually, when I come there, it's their customer service is a pleasure.
Exactly. But,
hey, by the way, I like playing these clips. AOC, speaking about monopolies, she says, you know what? We need to be scared, not of the government. We need to be scared of the corporations taking over the government.
You know, just as there's all of this fear mongering that government is going to take over every corporation and government is going to take over every business or every form of production, we should be scared right now because corporations have taken over our government. And then we should be wary of any entity in which both of those things are combined, whether it's through one way or the other.
Wait. We should be wary of both of those things combined. I think if I read into it, you mean we hear all the time of a public-private partnership. The public is, of course, government-run, private. But yet, we always have government in our lives, Roger. Unfortunately, it's, we're not going to get rid of it. The question is, do you have more government or do you have more of the private sector? If the government can't do the things it needs to do, what's the problem of having the private sector help out?
Exactly. The private sector always does a much better job at any service they provide than the government can in any case. As long as everybody gets to win, I'm okay with it. Government can win.
And that's why the emphasis in democratic socialism is on democracy. And it's not about, you know, it's just as much a transformation about bringing democracy to the workplace.
Oh, boy.
So that we have a say and that we don't check all of our rights.
You guys get that, don't you? Bringing democracy, that's her democracy, to the workplace. $15 an hour, free paid medical leave, free college tuition, and oh, boy, who knows?
Every time we cross the threshold into our workplace. Because at the end of the day, as workers and as people of society, we're the ones creating wealth, not a corporate CEO. It's not a CEO that's actually creating $4 billion a year.
Okay, workers, clients are creating wealth. Oh, by the way, can I ask you that question? Who is the originator or the creator for allowing you to help them create the wealth?
Think about it.
It was the business owner.
Everybody's playing a part. And to discount the business owner and their risk-taking and their vision is unfair and it's untrue. But I believe everyone's rolled up their sleeves and they're helping to make this country a better place. And if they're an employee, they're helping to make their place of work and their company a better place and more successful business.
When it comes to the minimum wage, it has now cleared its first major hurdle here in the state of Florida. The political committee called Florida for a Fair Wage has submitted the over 87,000 valid petitions to propose the amendment for at least a review by the Supreme Court. Again, this is a amendment being pushed by John Morgan. Under the proposal, the state's minimum wage would go to $10 an hour if passed next year, starting September the 30th on 2021, and increased by a dollar each year until it hits $15 an hour in 2026. I asked the question this last time. If $15 an hour is the way to go today in 2019, then why would 7 years down the road, $15, you think $15 an hour would have the same buying power as it does today?
Absolutely not.
No.
And here's the deal, Dad. You know, this is window dressing because, as you mentioned, if you raise the minimum wage, companies have to pay more. Then guess what happens? Your cost of your hamburger goes up. Your cost for your gallon of gasoline is going to go up. So it's going to have a wash net effect over the over the long term. It just looks like they're doing something.
This is going to get the signatures, I think.
Yes.
The question is, at $10 an hour, they're incrementally doing this. Mm-hmm. This might have a good chance of passing. Not at 15, but at $10 an hour starting out.
Absolutely. And I believe it probably is going to pass, to be frank with you, because a lot of people can't see through what's really happening. But what they're doing is voting for inflation.
All right. The latest jobs report weaker than expected, but the economists say there's always a good sign about what's going on. We'll have this discussion coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio WBOB.
I-95 South in St. Johns County at mile marker 314. There has been a wreck. There is some backup there. And at 295 South on the ramp to I-10, there has been an accident there this morning.
Mary, the child you bear will become the greatest of men.
From the network that brought you the Bible.
There has been talk about Jesus. They say he's healing the sick.
Comes the life of Jesus Christ.
His preaching is what concerns me.
He's helping people.
From those who knew him best.
We are his followers. We've seen him do wondrous things.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Jesus, his life. Monday, March 25th at 8 on History.
The Wright brothers, Laurel and Hardy, Ben and Jerry. History has shown that the right partner can make all the difference. The right partner provides expertise in the craft and the experience to deliver amazing results. Thomas & Associates in Jacksonville has been providing families with insurance guidance for almost 50 years. American Integrity Insurance is proud to partner with Dan Tuckman and the team at Thomas & Associates, providing Jacksonville with reliable, affordable home insurance, voters insurance, golf cart coverage, and more. At American Integrity, we're Floridians too, so we know the unique challenges Florida homeowners face. And we have the financial strength to help you when you need us most. Couple that strength and experience with hardworking local agents like Dan, and you've got a partnership you can count on. Give Dan a call at 904-730-3900 and see how easy and affordable switching your home coverage to American Integrity can be.
Mostly cloudy today. Our high will be around 85 degrees. This evening, strong rain with thunderstorms early on and a low of 62. Right now, 66 at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
How many next Tuesday is the the first for the citywide election races.
Yeah,
got one. And what is it? The supervisor elections predicting what, about a 30% turnout?
Yeah.
In some cases, compared to what we normally see, that's not overall, I guess, that bad.
Right.
Especially in some of the primaries we've seen in real year elections, has been 30-35% or more. So, 222-TALK 904-222-8255 Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump preparing to release his proposed budget for 2020 with the blueprint due out later today. With Mr. Trump expected to ask Congress for another $8.5 billion for a border wall, could be another showdown on the way between Republicans and Democrats. Following the deadly jetliner crash in Ethiopia, Ethiopian Airlines has grounded all of its Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft as a safety precaution. All 157 people on board the doomed jetliner were lost. Following Ethiopia's lead, China has grounded all of its 737 MAX 8 planes as well. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures are a bit higher. Right now, Dow futures up a fraction. S&P futures better by 3, and NASDAQ futures currently 18 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. I-295 South and I-10 on the west side of town. We are looking at a wreck there, and it's right at the off-ramp. 95 South in St. Johns County at mile marker 314. Another accident there is causing some backup. Mostly cloudy and warm today. We'll have a high of 85. This evening, there's about an 8 out of 10 chance of thunderstorms early tonight with a low of 62. Right now, 66 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Over the last 2 years, more than 15 million people in the U.S. have quit using Facebook over concerns of privacy. A proposed constitutional amendment that would raise Florida's minimum wage has cleared its first hurdle. And President Trump's 2020 budget calls for trillions in cuts over 10 years.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Hey, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Folks, the Dems just keep going. You know what? They're tenacious, don't agree with their views, but man, they're least consistent, and they did it again as of, what was this, last Thursday, last Friday, House Democrats voted in favor of giving cities like Orlando, Jacksonville, Miami, again, this is the U.S. House, for non-citizens to vote in not federal, but local elections. Again, illegal aliens voting in your local elections. The Democrat House 228 to 197, they call it For the People Act. Sound like a John Morgan commercial there, For the People, but it's called the For the People Act. Is a way that they have said to expand voting access, and by allowing this, it would get big money out of politics. You ever see Democrats, any elected official, giving up big money? Sorry, that's not going to happen. Big money, by the way, would be unions.
Okay.
You don't think Democrats are giving up unions. They say, Roger, one of their top supporting localities would be the allowed to non-citizens to vote in your local elections. Okay? But folks, it doesn't stop there. They also want to strip states like Florida, and by the way, the Republican-led legislatures out there, to establish their own areas to redraw congressional districts. Well, evidently, I don't think any of these individuals read the Constitution, because the Constitution says to the winner goes the spoils. Mm-hmm. If the Democrats control it, which they did for years, they can draw up any of the districts they want. It still has to get approved by the federal courts, of course. But it also would ban states. Oh, this keeps going. It would also ban states from removing voters from their voter rolls, which has been called purging out there. And it would also enact online voter registration and automatic registration instantaneously without verifying currently the voter ID.
A typical Washington, D.C. bill, so much in it, it's kind of hard to follow it. But the first thing that caught my attention, Ed, was allowing non-citizens to vote in state elections.
And they say local elections.
Local elections. Why would Washington want to have a say in that, A? And then, B, it's not going to pass. I mean, you're not going to get the U.S. Senate to go along with it. And certainly, President Trump's not going to sign it into law.
That's true. But it's interesting to see. I mean, they've shown their hand here. So, for example, the state of Florida, and yes, it's always going to have a lawsuit. They're going to redraw the districts here in about the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. There's going to be lawsuits left and right. But what really caught my eye is, you know, we have local elections in many municipalities here in the state of Florida coming up next week. And this has been an argument out there that I've always been very curious to listen to those that are listening. They want to have voter registration. And the day you can vote, register to vote, they should allow you the same day to register to vote,
right,
the same day to vote without checking and verifying your ID.
Exactly. And see, what ends up happening there is that you're opening yourself up to voter fraud. Some guy who wants to call himself Bob that day can go register and then vote that day and then probably show up at a different polling place, call himself Steve, and vote the same day twice, and there's no way to retract it once it's happened.
When it comes to the DeSantis administration, as National Review has pointed out, he is off to a big start. Almost 50% of Democrats in the state have given positive ratings on the governor of what he has been promoting. Now, as what we've talked about, Governor Ron DeSantis says that after his Florida Deregathon, which was a one-day summit, he wants to pursue the areas of going after the licensings and the major restrictions when it comes to occupational licensing, whether in the financial world, whether it's a CDL license to become a truck driver, whether or not it's for braided hair out there. He says he wants to look at ways to not just reduce it, but to hopefully eliminate it. Some of the questions are asked because he wants to also reduce the red tape. He says, you know, while eye surgeons and airline pilots should certify their competence. Why do nail polishers and boxing timekeepers need Tallahassee's permission to work?
Exactly. And it's all about, maintaining, limiting competition, to be frank with you. I get the fact that a medical doctor is going to have to know what he's doing before someone goes under the knife, but I think he does have a point. Why, if you cut hair, do you need to basically have a degree in chemistry?
You know, I didn't realize this was this many hours. I thought it was like 300 hours or more, but why? But according to the DeSantis administration, There's a 1,200 hour training requirement for new barbers, which includes boosting the cost and headaches for new individuals that want to go down that road. Can I ask a question? And please, if I'm wrong, tell me why do we need a massive amount of training when it comes to braiding hair, hairstylists, and for new barbers? But yet, if you want to get an insurance license and deal with a little bit of investments here in the state of Florida, 40, maybe a 60, 70-hour work requirement, wait, is your hair more important than your back pocket?
Well, a lot of times what they're looking at, and I'm just going to try to give their perspective to, and maybe it's overblown, but they're looking at things like how to treat and deal with head lice. If they're giving ladies permanent relaxers in their hair, you know, understanding the lie, the chemical makeup, and that sort
takes
of thing.
Takes 1,200 hours to figure that out?
I don't know if it, I don't believe it takes that long, but that's probably their argument.
Okay, so you're advocating their argument for that?
No, not at all.
I haven't heard that argument.
I'm just trying to bring some understanding as to why in the world they think that you need to have all this information and background and chemistry.
So
education.
You just gave one that's something I never, that it's minimal, that we need to look for the lice?
Right.
But I've never heard one hairstylist ever say that.
Oh, yeah. I've asked them before.
I know.
They spray their stuff with all these chemicals and stuff before they cut your hair. So what's that for? Well, you know, if there's a head lice issue,
you've got
to watch
check,
out for it.
Most of them there so you don't mess up their hair. I understand maybe for lawsuits. But I'm just always curious. When it comes to your hair, let's say that you wanted to eliminate... Okay, not eliminate. You wanted to divide hairstylists, because there's much more with women's hair than there is men's hair. Come on, let's be honest here.
Depending on the guy, how much he might be.
but the majority of guys, you really need 1,200 hours for a new barber?
Yeah. I don't believe it's needed to that extent. There probably does need to be some training and education, because you don't want to, you know, contaminate someone's hair with whatever, you know.
You need 1,200. I have no difference with that. But I mean, 1,200 hours?
Right. But if you're using the same, you know, tools and stuff to cut the person's hair before them, you don't want to transfer anything that they may have had to the next guy.
You, but that's called common sense. You wash it off.
Exactly.
You clean it. But again, 1,200 hours. The latest jobs report, are you ready for this? Shows that the economy only net added 20,000 jobs. Economists had expected 180,000 jobs. The low number, of course, was a major drop from the 311,000 new jobs in January. But overall, they say that wages have still jumped up the highest since that of April of 2009. Also, that the tightening labor market is making it more difficult for employers to find skilled workers and forcing companies to attract more talent out there. Here is the Fox Business News panel discussion on this.
Look, the consumer, though, remains very strong. The job market remains solid. And it seems like some of these smaller employers are still having a hard time finding workers, which means wages can continue to rise, which is overall a good thing for the economy.
The key thing from the Beige Book that we saw was two anomalies, right? The government shutdown and the weather in February. I mean, over the last 30 to 45 days, I've had more travel delays than I've had in the last 15 years.
The economy's still strong, and if you strip away everything else, when you look at the wage picture, you look at the ADP number, suddenly you got to go back to where we always start, the consumer. And the consumer at 70% of your economy is healthy with the key, the amount of money we spend on debt services, the amount of money it costs you to finance your debt is as low as it was in the 80s. So the question is, do we have pent-up demand to drive the economy higher, or do we just kind of level off here and see how things go?
You know, I remember during the Obama years that when they barely had any growth, the first quarter, it was, one of them was almost negative, like 0.1%. And a lot of it they blamed on the weather. Okay, does the weather have an impact? I don't disagree with that. Does the weather have an impact? I'm not going to hold water for President Trump and say it did or it didn't. Maybe the government shutdown had a little bit of effect on that. First quarters have always had and been that way. But when it comes to manufacturing, Jay Timmons from the National Association of Manufacturers says, listen, 72% of those respondents that are going to hire say that that's their biggest job concern. He says because of the Trump's tax cuts, manufacturers have brought over 400 plus thousand jobs and looking to hire another 500,000.
Well, the interesting takeaway is, as you heard, manufacturing is really on the rise right now. We've created about 450,000 jobs in the last 2 years, and the 2 years prior to that, it's about 60,000. So you can see the huge increase, the number of jobs being created in manufacturing. It's no secret why. It's because of tax reform. It is because of regulatory certainty. So manufacturers are very optimistic. About 91.8%, 9 out of 10 manufacturers are optimistic about the future. That record has been consistent for 9 consecutive quarters. But the problem that we have right now is we can't find enough people to do the jobs that we have open.
Right. Just kind of interesting. When the Paul Krugmans from the New York Times, President Obama, hey, hey, what? You just gonna wave a. I'm sorry.
I love your Obama impression.
You're just gonna wave a magic wand. How are you gonna do all that? And yet you pointed out, you covered economics. Yeah. Jobs are coming back in a lot, and not only are they coming back in, they're hiring from here in the country.
These aren't just service jobs, tourism jobs, which are important, but these are jobs in manufacturing. Yeah. And we were told that these jobs are never coming back to America because there's no way that we can compete with sweatshops in the third world, but we are.
In some cases, that's been true, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting to see the type of manufacturing jobs. What's being built now in America? I know in Northeast Florida, they're building the solar panels. I know that car manufacturing
Central
is coming
Florida,
back.
Some of that as well,
a lot of robust economic activity going on right now.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 222 Talk, 222-8255. Let me ask a question. Those of you on the road this morning driving a truck, those of you that are going to work right now, you had to get an occupational license to go do what you do. Is it needed, number one? That's the question. Number two, does it feel like that in order to get to where to own a company, you have to get the government's permission? I mean, so my question, does it feel that way to some of you listening this morning? At 222 Talk, love to hear from you, 904-222-8255. My other question is, when it comes to occupational licenses in the permitting process, Florida's been ranked number 5 as one of the worst states, believe it or not. Why do we need to have so many hundreds of hours for hairdressers and barbers compared to that? Those that want to learn the issue of finances, they don't. When it comes to insurance licenses, don't need all that. Is there an area where we don't need all the regulation, or do we need to have more regulation when it comes to truck drivers and hairstylists out there? 222-TALK, 904-222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
This morning in 95 South at mile marker 314, there has been an accident. We're seeing consistent backup on the traffic cams. No other problems on our roads this morning.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the biggest changes we've seen in fine jewelry over the last 25 years has been the growth of jewelry designers. At Underwoods, we're the leader, bringing to North Florida the best names in designer jewelry. In fact, we carry designer lines in a similar way to how clothing stores carry designer labels. The difference is that jewelry designers have to be a little more timeless in their presentations because nobody wants to buy a fine piece of jewelry only to find out the next year it's gone out of style. That's why you'll find at Underwoods the best of the jewelry designer names, those that are tried and true and popular. Names like David Yerman, Roberto Coyne, John Hardy, Marco Bichigo, Jude Francis, Lagos, Ippolita, and a lot more are all available right now at Underwoods. So if you want the best looks in designer jewelry, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Pontevedra.
Cloudy and warm today. Our high will be 85 degrees this evening. Plan on lots of rain with thunderstorms. Overnight below 62. Right now, 66 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats propose breaking up high-tech monopolies. The latest jobs report was weaker than expected. Economists still say that 2019 is still a good year for the consumer. And the DeSantis administration says they're looking at ways to cut the red tape when it comes to occupational licensing in Florida.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson here. More than we reported earlier, more than 15 million users in the U.S. have quit using, how many of all use social media? Do you use Instagram? Are you, what is it, the Periscope? I never got into that.
Yeah.
Are you a Twitter or are you a Facebook? According to the Daily Mail, 15 million users have left Facebook, not based on Will Rogers, the area of censorship. It's based on the issue of privacy. I've always been, as I said earlier, I've always been very curious when I listen to some of my conservative friends itch and complain about Facebook and Twitter deleting, and that's the reason why, you know, we need to break up the monopolies, but yet nobody ever seems to have a concern over their privacy of what Facebook may be using. The numbers show that over the last couple of years, between the ages of 12 and 34, 67%, are you ready for this, have said between those ages they just dropped off the area of Facebook, but there's been an offset by that of an increase by those 55 and older, and in fact, 50% increase in 2017-2018, and 53% increase already in up to 2019.
Old guys balding with gray hair are looking for their high school sweetheart, probably, but here's the deal. There is a lot of privacy that you think that no one knows about you that Facebook apparently collects. And if you know how to go into your profile deep enough, you can see all the information they've got about you, from your political leanings to your birthday to your marital status, things like that. They keep on file probably so they can more accurately sell ads to advertisers to targetedly reach you.
Elizabeth Warren, Democrat senator from Massachusetts, says we need to break up these monopolies.
But the reality is, it is not capitalism to have one giant that comes in and dominates, a monopolist that dominates a market. What I have supported all the way through are the kinds of things that help level the playing
field. If it's not capitalism, then what is it?
You know, I don't know. It's probably not socialism.
Yeah, well, maybe she didn't want to admit that. So Democrats are proposing breaking up groups like Amazon, not just in the high-tech area, but what they may bring you is, for example, Elizabeth Warren says, you know, Whole Foods, Amazon bought them up. She would, quote, unmerge them. Here's a little bit of the breakdown Democrats are still proposing from the Fox Business News, Deidre Bolton.
Go through the three steps. She wants to apply new regulators to basically undo the mergers that we've seen or separate properties. So in other words, she wants to take Instagram and WhatsApp from Facebook. She wants to take Whole Foods away from Amazon. She wants to undo the Google Nest merger, which she wants to bar tech companies. And I feel like this is particularly focused on Amazon from providing a marketplace and then also selling products on that same marketplace.
You know, I was asking this question a few minutes ago. If you think Publix and Walmart's a monopoly, then Amazon would help break that monopoly up. But wait a second. Now let's go after Amazon for not being a monopoly, even though they're trying to dissuade other companies from becoming a monopoly. I'm confused.
And
here.
Here's the interesting thing. The guy who heads up Amazon, he's a Democrat. He's a liberal.
Big lip.
And they're going after him in such a strong way. It makes you wonder why. I can't help but to think that the big reason why is that they're just jealous of how successful he's been. And to be frank with you, I think part of opening up the Whole Food grocery stores around the country, which is part of their plan right now, is maybe to combat some of the porch piracy. Instead of having it delivered to your house, you have the option of picking it up at your neighborhood grocery store.
But here's the question. Look at the social media. How many of y'all out there are more angry, and I've heard them on this radio show, how many of you, I'm calling out some of my conservative friends out there. How many of you that have input on this radio show have been more complaints against Facebook and Twitter because they deleted one of your posts or what, or Twitter or whatever? But yet, when you talk about your privacy concerns, Roger, I barely hear anybody itch and complain about that.
Got into a long conversation over the weekend with one of my friends who has a habit of saying, please repost this on your Facebook page. And I explained to him that, hey, you can't do this and expect people to respond, and gave him some ideas on how he can be more active. But that was his concern. He wants his word to get out. He's on a soapbox. He's got his activist issues, and that's what it is. And probably is oblivious to the fact that every detail of his life is now being stored on a server somewhere in California.
Yeah, I'm more curious why people spend so much time debating on Facebook. I heard one of the listeners got into a Facebook debate. Really? Why don't you go to have a coffee debate down at your local Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts? But here's a question. Do we need to break up Facebook? Because some would consider a multimedia company, it is a monopoly. And the question is, if you break up Facebook because you think that they over-monopolize, then why not Twitter? Why not Google? Why not Bing? Why not Amazon?
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the issue. I think people, by and large, are probably oblivious to the fact that a lot of their details are being stored. They probably have no idea. And in fact, I was surprised of all the personal details that Facebook had about me stored on their server in my profile that I had to go through all kind of hoops to see. And the fact that they've got that, I don't think people know.
But should you break them up? Because, I mean, why not just sit back and say, we think there's a privacy problem, which I think they're addressing now. But do we sit back and say that we need to regulate or face, or we need to unmonopolize, if I can use that term, Facebook and other media groups? Because where are you going to stop?
I think the political operatives who say that they need to be broken up are not concerned about the monopoly. They're concerned about the political impact that Facebook can have as well.
Some of the economic news here in the state of Florida. Are we doing enough going into our local high schools and community college, not big universities, but local community colleges, when it comes to issue of job training? Not as, well, I lost my job and I need more money for job reach. No. We're talking about trade jobs out there. According to TheHill.com, Liz Peek, she says, even in the state of Florida, companies are at least doing a better job going into the high schools and the local universities to help them get ready for the future when it comes to those needing in jobs and manufacturing and other areas.
It does seem as though there's a big push. Individual companies are undertaking really substantial training programs. Companies that really weren't particularly in that space before, they're going directly, as I understand it, to community colleges and even high schools now, and getting kids into workplace programs, which, by the way, I think is fantastic, because kids are not learning the skills they need in our high schools and even in our junior colleges.
So here's the question. Are we doing them enough here in the state of Florida? Because as you point out, in Northeast Florida, in Brevard County, huge because of NASA and Grumman, and, right, and also in St. Augustine, Orlando, big manufacturing companies. Also, in, believe it or not, on Highway 90 from west of I-10, on I-10 from 75, a lot of manufacturing companies all the way to Tallahassee. But in the old school days, we never saw this taking place. You know what I'm saying? And when those of you that went to school in the 80s and 90s, there wasn't really a big movement to go into these schools and hire kids. It was just, you maybe had a job day. You go to a local school. But them coming into the school, are we doing a better job? What have you seen about that?
I think it's a good thing. And when businesses...
I know it's a good thing. Are they doing it?
You know what? I don't know. I believe, though, back when I was in high school, for example, you could have two tracks at my high school. You could go the academic track, or there was a vocational ed track. And I've got friends who graduated from high school with their license in electronics, their license in mechanics, and license in plumbing as they graduated from high school.
But here's the question. Are they doing it now? Compared to what we've seen, for those of you listening, here's my question. Do we see companies coming in on a routine basis? This is not rocket science.
And are they being invited in?
Well, they should be. I mean, if you've got... Here's the thing. If private schools... Charter schools are overwhelmingly based on whether it's what you've reported, Roger, disciplinary problems. The reason my parents want to send their kids to charter schools were based on they think they're going to get a better education. If you wanted to compete, I don't know if the private schools inviting manufacturing companies to come in and teach them young kids in high schools to go out and get a job. If this was going back at the public schools, then that would put a much more of a competition for, you would think, parents to keep their kids at the public school.
Exactly. As innovative as they can possibly be, I believe that's a good thing. Competition often spawns that. I believe, though, however, when people send their kids to private school, they're probably not thinking of vocational training.
I agree. That's my point.
They're thinking of either the environment or maybe getting them ready for college.
So my question to you out there, how many... And educate me, please. I don't know. Are companies going into the local high schools? Universities, I understand there's more of a... But are we... I knew Boeing and Grumman back years ago were talking about... Because they were losing people to other states. They were talking about when some of these high schools were complaining that they couldn't afford seventh period. Some of the manufacturing companies came in and said, we'll fund seventh period. We want to train these kids. We'll pay for the college. I mean, what a golden opportunity out there. Or paid for their trade school, like an occupational license.
Exactly.
But are we doing it today? And I don't know which companies aren't doing it.
The one group that's doing, I believe, the best job at what you're talking about is the U.S. military. They are junior ROTC programs pretty much in every school. And it has been going on.
But we're talking manufacturing.
Right. But these kids are being prepared, and they get actually a promotion after they graduate from boot camp.
Well, I get that. But I'm trying to focus more on non-governmental entity out there. But I get it with what you're talking about with the U.S. military. So that's the question I ask you. Name me a company, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson here. Name me a company that you have seen that goes into the local high schools for job training locally here or wherever you listen to this morning show, because I don't know of any. But tell me where they're going in, where there's a contract or at least school boards promoting job training as far as a trade job. I don't know of any, but please educate me at 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
In St. Johns County, mile marker 314, as you go south at 95, there has been an accident. We do see lots of backup there. 295 north at US 17, look out for a broken down car. And if you're 295 north at Atlantic Boulevard, apparently something fell off of a car or truck. It's in one of the lanes. You'll have to avoid it.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-B-I-B-L-E. 877-64-BIBLE.
Single family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, aka retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. Del is sending his team out across the country. Meet them live in a city near you, one day only. Check the schedule and claim your seats at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
A cloudy day today, but it will be warmer. Our high 85, and this evening, lots of rain expected with thunderstorms. A low of 62. Right now, it's 66 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at WBOB.com.
Here's one from Trey. He emails, says, Ed and Roger, enjoy the show on the morning commute today. He says, I would like to see more companies come in. I don't hear many of them, but if education from the public schools wants something to brag about, I think if they had any real competition, they would brag about bringing in companies to hire those and help those colleges, or help students get their college paid for by local businesses.
Exactly, and this is where the business can probably target in the areas that they need the most in their community. Northeast Florida, big industry is in insurance. Maybe they can work with them in that area.
Here's one from Sarah. She says, Ed, the local high schools don't have to compete. That's the reason why they're not inviting many of these companies to come in and help out with trade schools out there. Here's one from Sandra. She says, monopolies? Has anybody asked the government why they're the biggest monopoly on education and healthcare? Interesting. Here's one from Malcolm. He says, Ed, I like the way you asked the question. Why do, as somebody who has an occupational license on driving, why do I need to get permission from the government to work or start a business? Interesting. Here's one from Tracy. Ed, after seeing you and Roger live, I can see why the barber needs 1,200 hours to train for us.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they were saying that doesn't give him enough right there.
Thanks for the compliment, Tracy.
Yeah, 222-TALK. 222-8255. I mean, do we need all these licensings per hour when it comes to barber and haircuts just to go out and get a job or get permission from the government here locally? Do we need all of those hours? And tell me why we need all of those training out there. More coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
Cover the shadow.